All right, this is Thursday, September the 28th, chapel service by the Student Council with Mrs. Tiana Day, President of the Student Body.
Good morning. I'd like to share one announcement with you before we begin our worship time this morning. This coming weekend, early Saturday morning, there is a group of students who are planning to go down to Somerville, South Carolina to assist with the disaster relief there. This is just outside of Charleston. If there's anybody who is interested in going to help with the cleanup or with distribution of food or just help in whatever way. We're having an organizational meeting this evening at 6:30 in the Ledford Pit. If there's anybody that would like to donate some supplies, there are specific needs. Batteries, canned goods, disposable diapers. And if there's anybody that has a chainsaw or some other type of equipment that could be used to help with the cleanup, but you can't go but are interested in lending your equipment, we would be very appreciative of that also. Any donations, please call Sherry Jett in the Dean of Students' office. Thank you.
Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Shall we all rise up for the opening prayer? Our dear Father and God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you this morning to worship you, to have fellowship amongst ourselves. And we know that according to the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are already here in our midst. We're asking you that everything we will do today will be acceptable before you, that the worship service will be glorifying unto your holy name, and that each of us here today will be edified, we will be lifted up and brought in tune with you and in fellowship one with another. Thank you because of your wonderful love for us, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Could we all rise, please? Who are you?
We are individuals, unique, diverse, special from varied backgrounds, with widely ranging goals for the future, united in the present by our shared purpose, that the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
Where have you come from?
Some of us have come from classes, from studying, from writing papers. Some come from preparing lectures, teaching, counseling students. Others of us come from administrative tasks, while others come from supportive roles.
Why are you here?
We are here to seek and encounter God. Yet we know that to seek God is to acknowledge God's first move to encounter us. Two, we know that we cannot encounter God without moving both toward God and toward each other.
And how do you come before God?
We enter the gates with singing and enter the courts with praise.
Please join us as we sing hymn number 257.
A reading from the book of the prophet Haggai. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judea, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat and you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And whoever earns those wages to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may appear in my glory, says the Lord.
Reading from God's Word, Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing and make music to Him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for the joy of their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all His saints. Praise the Lord.
Reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brethren, in what terms I preached to you the gospel which you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold it fast, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any one of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed.
Would you please stand and join us in the reading? Community implies the sharing of concerns.
Yet often we fail to care about others' needs or concerns because they are not our own. We fail to accept the burdens of others because we cannot believe as they believe, or we cannot accept the way in which they express their commitment, especially when it varies from our own expression.
Community implies risking our own security to reach out to others.
Yet often we fail to realize that others may be just as scared as we are, and we cling to our cocoons, waiting for someone to free us, instead of accepting our freedom and reaching out to free others.
Community implies responsibility.
Yet often we fail to act responsibly, to accept our responsibility to become all that we were created to be, and to enable others to become all they were created to be.
Community implies understanding.
Yet often we seek more to be understood by others than to understand others.
Community implies supporting.
Yet often, out of our own feelings of inferiority or lack of self-worth, we seek to tear down others rather than affirm them.
Community implies caring, suffering with those who suffer, celebrating with those who celebrate.
Yet often we fail to feel with others because of fear of our own emotions, jealousy, or being too concerned with ourselves. Our God, forgive us, for we are not always community, and though we seek a fellowship of love, often we experience only our broken, alienated humanity. Reach out to us and touch us with thy forgiveness and thy healing. Restore us to each other, that we may again experience community.
Please be seated. This morning, as we come to our time of community prayer, I would want to bring to your attention some specific concerns that involve members of our community. Joseph Tyndall, who is the father of James Tyndall, had surgery on the 25th of this week, and his condition is serious. He's in the Lenore Memorial Hospital at Kinston. And let us be in remembrance of this family and their needs. Clinton Sweatman has asked us to remember his wife, Dean, who was put in the hospital on yesterday because of a spider bite. She is in a lot of pain, but the medicine that she's giving seems to be helping. And then Graham Mitchell, one of our students who lives in Floyd, Virginia, suffered a lot of damage during the hurricane and has asked that we remember them. And we've already been reminded this morning of the need for us to continue to remember all those who have suffered loss from the hurricane. And certainly we're thankful for the opportunity to put feet on our prayers, but it is pertinent for us to continue to pray for that situation.
I will begin our community prayer this morning, and then there will be a period of silence where you may lift up your own personal concerns to the Lord, and then Robert will close us. Let's pray together. Almighty God, in every age, you have called out men and women to be your faithful servants. We recognize, O God, that within the realms of this calling, there is the necessity and responsibility of servanthood. Therefore, on this day, we beseech you to pour out your wisdom, guidance, and your spirit upon our staff and administration, who in their own way seek to follow your calling and to be faithful and responsible servants of yours. With this specific calling, O God, we recognize the awesome responsibility of being called as administrators and staff. We would ask then that you would lead them in such a way that would bring glory and honor to you. We also beseech you your blessing and guidance and spirit to be upon our faculty. Just as you have made us unique individuals and have given us the provision of freedom through grace, so too we ask that you would impart the same freedom and wisdom and knowledge to each member of our faculty as they seek to help us interpret the great mysteries of living and proclaiming the good news of a life of servanthood for Christ. O God, in the days ahead, may each member of the faculty, staff, and administration have a clear vision of your call and give them strength enough to fulfill the servanthood roles that you have set before them. Lead each one of them to seek to know that it is by the great mercy and grace of Christ that allows for each one to have the highest degree of love to be experienced, not only on this day, but throughout all eternity.
Now, O Father, Creator of us all, we come in your presence praising the marvel of your creation. Lord, you have told us that we are created in your image. Now help that we may be sensitive to that creation as we see one another. Lord, may we seek to find you and to be in oneness with you. And Father, in our oneness with you, may we become one with each other. And yet in our oneness, Lord, learn to appreciate the uniqueness of your creative power in each life. Father, we confess with your prophet Isaiah that we're like a mixed up flock of sheep and goats and calves. Some of the times, Father, we blindly follow the bell that sounds loudest and closest. Sometimes we get so preoccupied with grazing that we fail to look up and see you. And Father, sometimes we're like a kid goat out skipping through the pasture looking for someone with whom to butt heads. But Father, help us to be the sheep of your pasture. Help us to be the people that you've called us to be. With the psalmist we pray, my personal prayer is that you would create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. May that be the corporate prayer of each heart. Now, we have come here to this place as seekers and as learners. Help us to be humble
to seek to gain from those who would teach us, and from each other, and from ourselves, through our experiences with you, the knowledge and the wisdom and the insight to be the servants that you've created us to be. Now, Father, you've already heard the concerns that have been lifted. We know that you are able and sufficient to meet those needs, and we entrust them to you. Help us to be your hands and your feet, your mouth, in the world where we are. Now we make this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and resurrected, that we might have everlasting life, and that life abundant. We pray now the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Now give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen.
I am what I am. I am a woman. I am an adoptive mother of a 10-year-old Siberian Husky. I am 30 years old. I am married. But most important, I am a Christian in service for God. I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul recorded the following words in his letter to the church, the first letter to the church of Corinth. In chapter 15, verses 10 and 11, we read, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." Paul was writing to a church with many problems. Already in his correspondence, he had dealt with doctrinal issues such as Christian freedom and Christian worship. He dealt with ethical issues such as marriage and the proper use of the body. He even devoted the first quarter of the letter to divisions within the church. Clearly, the first century church of Corinth was not a happy, safe, and peaceful place to be. Many people today paint a colorful picture about the first century church, and they remark how wonderful it would be that if the churches today could be like the first century church. How little they realize that we are very much like that first century church. If they would only take the time to read Paul's epistles, the pastoral epistles, they would find that our churches are very similar. But Paul did not let the problems within the churches stop him. No, he dug his heels in and continued to preach and teach. He taught ethics of living. He taught proper behavior. And he addressed the issue of division head on. Paul knew a secret, but he didn't keep it to himself. He wrote, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." I can imagine that he even said to the apostles, "I am what I am, and you are what you are," even though they didn't agree on every issue. You see, Paul realized the power and effectiveness of grace. He saw the power and effectiveness of grace. He experienced the power and effectiveness of grace. He knew that God's grace was sufficient for everyone. He realized that even though the apostles had different views, they still held to the central truth of the gospel, which was the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He knew that the resurrection confirmed Christ's messiahship. He knew that faith and belief in the resurrection of Christ afforded one salvation. Salvation provided through the grace of God. Paul knew that it was by the grace of God working through him which enabled him to do all that he did and all that the apostles did. In 1 Corinthians 15:11, we read, "Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." "So we preached" referred to the teachings of the resurrection. All the apostles preached this gospel. This was the message of salvation. This was the message that mattered. It did not matter that their theology differed. It did not matter that their style differed. These things were important, but not essential. God used all of the apostles. God used the uniqueness of each apostle, and through grace, the gospel was proclaimed and believed. The apostles were what they were because of the grace of God. Yes, they were made into new creatures in Christ, but God did not wipe out their personality in the process. God uniquely created each apostle, and part of that creation included their personality. Their personality made them who they were, and it became an integral part of their ministry. Take Paul, for example. Prior to his Damascus Road experience, he fervently persecuted the church. After his Damascus Road experience, he fervently proclaimed the church. The fervor did not change. The fervor was part of his personality. His behavior changed. Prior to coming to Southeastern, I taught special education for 6 years. I had mainly fourth and fifth graders who had severe learning disabilities, emotional disturbances, or behavior disorders, or a combination of all of the above. Because of their emotion or behavior problems, they could not function in age-appropriate groups. Therefore, for each child, I designed a behavior modification program. I sought to enable that child through that program to eliminate their maladaptive behaviors. Each program was uniquely tailored to fit the specific needs of each child. And through the years, as the child modified his or her own inappropriate behavior, the unique personality of each child began to shine through in a way that it never had before. This is similar to what happened to us when we, through the grace of God, accepted the salvation offered to us when we became new creatures in Christ. We began to modify and change our behaviors, and uniquely created personalities began to shine through. Yes, we as the apostles were, we are uniquely created by God. We are uniquely called by God. God's grace has touched each one of us. We have freely chosen to let the grace of God have an effect upon us. As God's grace worked in our lives, we were changed in behavior and attitudes. Yet, our personalities were not changed. Our personalities are part of our unique creation by God. When God called us into ministry, He called every part of us as unique individuals to work corporately with one another as we seek to share the gospel. We all share the gospel differently, but the gospel message will remain the same. We will all establish our unique theology through study of Scripture, but the gospel will remain the same. We will all develop a different ministry style, yet the gospel will remain. And as we preach the gospel of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, God's grace will be at work, and through grace, others will come to believe. We may serve God in different ways, and we may hold differing views on various doctrines, but the gospel must remain constant in order that God's grace may work through it. I am what I am. You are what you are. We are what we are. Individual uniqueness with an underlying corporateness. Paul made himself fully available to the grace God offered. Paul accepted fully the gift of grace, and thus it was reflected in the service that he performed for God. We must open ourselves to the bountiful grace of God, that God may work through us. We need to open ourselves through study, prayer, and meditation. And as we begin to freely accept the grace God offers, we will begin to reflect the light of Christ to those around us. The more we allow the light to shine within us, in our hearts and in our minds, the more we will be able to reflect to those around us. Last spring, I went on a spiritual retreat with a class I was taking with Dr. Clemens. The retreat was for meditation, reflection, reading, and prayer. We were not allowed to talk. It was difficult, but we did manage. It rained most of the weekend, but on Sunday morning, the sun came out. That morning, early in the morning, I walked out behind the retreat center, down to the pond, and sat in the warm sunshine. And as I sat along the pond, I looked at the reflections in the water. The trees on the west side of the pond received the full light of the sun. Their reflection in the water was crisp, clear, and vivid. On the west side, the trees did not receive the full reflection of the sun that was behind them. Their reflection was clouded and gray. The higher the sun rose on these trees, the brighter the image became. Our lives are like that reflection in the pond. The more we allow the Spirit of Christ to shine upon us and the grace of God to work through us, the more real we will become to those around us, the more real we will be reflected to those around us. Through grace, God is seeking to mold us. Through grace, Christ is seeking to make us real to those around us. Marjorie Williams wrote a children's classic, The Velveteen Rabbit. I'd like to share a short passage. The skin horse had lived longer in the nursery than any of the others. He was so old that his brown coat was bald in patches and showed the seams underneath, and most of the hairs in his tail had been pulled out to string bead necklaces. He was wise, for he had seen a long succession of mechanical toys arrive to boast and swagger and by break their mainsprings and pass away. And he knew that they were only toys and would never turn into anything else. For nursery magic is very special and wonderful, and only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced, like the skin horse, understand all about it. "What is real?" asked the Velveteen Rabbit one day when they were lying side by side. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you or a stick-out handle?" "Real isn't how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up, or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand. I am what I am. You are what you are. We are what we are. Are we willing to freely accept the gift of grace and love which God continually offers to us? God is seeking to make each of us real. God is offering us the gift of grace that we may become real to others. It will take time. Time along the journey of life, time along our spiritual journey. Yes, there will be bumps and bruises along the way, but it's all part of the loving grace process. Christ loves us so much and seeks to make us real. Each time we experience joy and the presence of God, we get closer to becoming real. Each time we experience pain and suffering, we get closer to real. Ask not for a flawless, painless life. Rather, seek to be used through the grace of God, that you may glorify God in the process. I am what I am. You are what you are. We are what we are.
May we stand. Bow your heads with me, please. Lord God, we stand reverent before you in these parting moments, with praise upon our lips, promise of presence in our midst, thanksgiving in our hearts, and renewed spirits having heard your word. Allow that word to continually nurture us as we depart to serve. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.